My subject that Apostle Eddie gave me was the kingdom of God, the principles and the mentality of the kingdom. And I'm an apostle and I'm also a doctor in psychology. And I practice kingdom principles. And one of the first things that I believe that I'm going to use a lot of scriptures, and they tell you to give the notes, but you may not be able to read them because I told you, that's why I told you I was a doctor. I write doctor. I don't type words and stuff. So if you want to type them out, you can always call Pastor Lonzine and she can help you interpret them. Because once they get cold, I'm finished with them. Okay. The first thing we need to understand is that kingdom principles is a function of the commonwealth of God. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 13, it tells us that we are of the commonwealth of the kingdom. Every kingdom has commonwealth, and all of the wealth belongs to the king. When we understand that, and that's the wealth of gifts, that's the wealth of finances, that's the wealth of everything in the kingdom. And the glory of the kingdom is in the people, is in the sons and the citizens of God. We are kings and priests. The Bible does not say kings, queens, and priests. And when we look at this, what we're looking at, we have to have the mentality of our natural world is the spirit world. Our natural world is the kingdom world. This is not my natural world. This is my physical body. So when I talk, I'm talking about my natural understanding is that of the kingdom and speaking the king's language. Another thing that I want to preface this with is that in the kingdom, the culture of the kingdom mentality has to be that we use the king's language. And as we use, they say, well, we weren't from a kingdom. We were from a democracy and a republic. But I beg to differ. I am from a kingdom. I was born into the kingdom of God. So the first thing that happened is he gave me a language. Yes, it was a language of tongues, but he also gave me a culture. And he says, learn my culture, Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, to the world that you came from, but be transformed by the renewing and having this new mind. And in having this new mind, what it is that I had to pick up the culture and the language of that. So when he says sons of God, then I'm a son of God. He says kings and priests, I'm a king. And in this physical world, I might look at something different. But when I'm talking and I'm taking authority over something, then I must have the mentality of the kingdom, of the king. And 1 Peter 5:7, it says, well, it doesn't say it like this. I mean, I'm giving you the scriptures so you can read them yourself. Everybody is supposed to be able to read themselves. So, but I'm doing a Michael Fram thing. He ain't gonna read it all to you. He just gonna tell you what he got out of it. So, I don't copy, but I'm copying today. Okay. In a kingdom, we do have the rights to be taken care of, to be carefree. It says to cast all of your cares upon him. This is the only place in the world where we can cast the cares of whatever it is that's going on in our lives upon the king. I carry no cares. If I do, then I have no king. Are you tracking here? Because when you carry the cares, that means that you are your own king. And that's your problem. You got to figure it out. I don't have to figure out anything. He says to cast the care, to cast that heaviness, to cast any of those things upon him, because he is the one that has the answer. And when we have this mentality, I'm talking about the mentality of what it is that we must have. All of the cares that we have cast upon the king, because he is the only one that has the power, the authority, the ability to be able to take care of everything. He's already seen the end from the beginning because he put us in time. He's not in time, but he has put us in time so that everything in time has already been taken care of if we follow his plan. And it's not our plan, it's his plan. He also says in his word, here are scriptures that I'm coming from. I'll be coming from Psalms 139, all the way through it, 1 through 24, Psalms 24, 1 and 2, 1 Corinthians 10, 24, 26, and 28, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. That's only on my first page. So that's where I'm coming from. You can follow all of those. At any rate, the principles of representation, we get to represent how our kingdom, how our king is by operating in that in our society. I will not use the words world, the world's words when it comes to gender, when it comes to a man and a woman, two people saying that they are something other than a man, I mean, two people together. I won't use those words. I will not allow that corrupt communication to come out of my mouth. One of the mistakes that I see that we make is that we want the world to understand us. They don't care if we understand them. They will change our course and have us to understand them. When if we were powerful enough to actually walk in the culture of the kingdom, they would ask us, what does that mean? And then our culture would be able to take its presence. And it's the one that has the power, the authority, and the anointing in order to change your heart. So the mentality of us, we have to remember that we're not servants of the world. We are sons servants of the kingdom of God. We are citizens, sons servants of the kingdom of God. And so therefore, if we're going to represent him, then we need to use his language. We need to actually use his language. I am not going to put all of these initials out. A lesbian is a lesbian. A homosexual is a homosexual. A pervert is pervert. A man is a man. A woman is a woman. Whatever it is, this is the way God set it up. And I'm not going to use our mentality has to be where Peter and Paul and Mary. No, that wasn't me. I'm sorry. Okay, anyway, okay, I was looking at Lonzine and Michael, and them songs just started running around in my head, and people are singing them songs. Okay, and Kim also. All right, but at any rate, where they said, I would rather obey God than to obey you. You answer this. Who should I obey? Should I obey God or should I obey you? In my life, I am willing to live for the word of God, but I'm also willing to die for it. He told me this is the way it is, and I would rather my not using language that the physical world wants. I would rather for them to be offended than for me to offend God by not standing for what it is that he said. So this is the mentality. We're talking about the mentality of a kingdom citizen. We're talking about the mentality of a kingdom son. We're talking about the mentality of a kingdom king in the earth, okay? So he is the only one that has the power and the authority. The principle of representation, we get to represent our king, our father. He is the source of our peace. He is the source of our supply. He is the source of everything. That word means source. So whatever it is that I'm in need of, he is the one that has already supplied it. And I have to remember that. Psalms 139. It talks about how he has designed us. He has designed us for his kingdom use. He has designed us for his kingdom power. So I have to look at this. I have been uniquely designed for the power of the king to operate in and through me. I am a son. I am not an orphan. I'm not a bastard. I'm not any of those things. The word of God says those things. I am not any of those things. I belong to him and he belongs to me. Psalm 24:1 says that the Psalms 24:1, 1 Corinthians 10, 24, 26, and 28 says that the earth is the Lord's and everything and everybody in it. So therefore, the culture of the kingdom is to transform the earth to look like the head, to look like God, to look like what it is that he says. But this is something that we have chosen. Because we have been weak and wimpy and whatever the other reasons are, we have chosen not to operate, not to allow the power of God to work in and through us. When we compromise, what we do is that we weaken the ability of the world to be able to change. If we stand for something, if you don't stand for something, if your mentality is, I will stand for truth, and there's only one truth, and his name is Jesus Christ. Truth is not an idea. Truth is a person. And so the Spirit lives, the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God lives in me, I realize this, that I'm not my own. The Bible says this, that I am not my own, that I have been purchased with a price. And when the purchase happened, he came to live on the inside of me to take ownership. He came to live on the inside of me, to lead me, to guide me. And that does not just mean passively. It means I came to bring order into this house. I came to occupy this house. I came so that this house can fulfill the purpose in which it was brought into this earth to do. Every vessel has a purpose. Every vessel was created and designed it to operate in a certain way. And then the Spirit of God came in and he operates in it in that way. He puts things in order. If you come to my house has order. My house has a culture. You will not wear your shoes in my house. And some people, I don't even want them to wear their socks in their house. Well, some people, I really have to give them those booties to put on because their feet are so dirty. I don't want them to bring them in my house. That's the culture of my house. Everything in my house has order. Everything is put in place. I know where everything is. And that's the way the Spirit of God is to operate on the inside of us. He knows everything. He knows every nook, every cranny. He knows all of it. And I am to yield to that. Yielding to it means I'm going to yield. I don't have to be submitted. I don't have to be forced, because I look at it as being submitted is to something that I don't want to yield to. And the Word of God tells me I'm not going to yield to this temptation. Yield not to the temptation of living the life that you want to live. So is there some music going on somewhere? Somebody needs a mute. Okay.
Yeah, everybody put your systems on mute, please.
Thank you. So this body, it doesn't anymore belong to me. When I came into the kingdom, when I said yes to the kingdom, when the kingdom came inside of me, it's now his domain. It is now his property. It is now me doing things the way that he wants them done. It's no longer me saying, well, you know, I don't really feel like that. I don't really like that. I know the Bible says this, but it's not something that I really want to do or the way that I want to do it. This is the reason that people don't tithe. This is the reason that people don't give. This is the reason that people don't first fruit. This is the reason that people don't do a lot of things, because they don't feel like they want to. Well, you're not a kingdom citizen. You don't have a kingdom mentality. What you are and what we are, if we do this, you're a renegade. And it's your life. And then, and so you cannot, we cannot complain when things don't go the way that the God of this universe, that the God that owns everything, the way that when he says that this is the way it's supposed to be. Matthew 13, 33, the kingdom of God is to be like yeast. And in the culture, yeast goes into the flour. Yeast goes into things. And what happens is that expands. It changes things. It changes the shape. It changes the taste. It changes everything. Yeast can be small. So it doesn't have to be a whole great big group of people, but it can be a small group of people. We can start out with, just as Apostle Calvin was talking about earlier, here it is, Love and Unity, the Kingdom First TV. We started out small. We started out with, I don't know how many people were on, but there was a few of us on. And then all of a sudden, it started to grow. It was like yeast. But it was because it was going to preach. It was going to release the kingdom of God. And when we release the kingdom of God the way the king wants it released, then what happens is this. He makes it expand. He is the one that is the expander. Are you tracking with me? Am I making sense here, anybody? Okay, thank you. All right. So our minds and our bodies have to be transformed into the image of the king, making an impact of the kingdom of God's culture in our language, in our dress, in our representation, and in our world. As a kingdom citizen, I do not speak what I want to speak. As I said earlier, I don't get to just tell people what it, I don't get to give people all of my mind. I got to give him his mind. So many times we want to give people our mind. That's not the right mentality. It is to give them his mind. It is to correct those things that need to be corrected. It is to love people enough to be kind, not nice. Nice is compromising. Kind is being direct, but also releasing it with the love of God, the way that he would want it released. And he will tell us, if we have the mentality that I am going to obey you, he will even let us know how to interact with each individual. The language that is common to the world, as it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, we are not to allow those corrupt communications to come out of our mouths. I don't know how many times I can say that. I continuously say that. It's time for us to change, but and when we change the influence, we change the odor, we change the smell, we change wherever it is that we go. Why is that? It's because we're carrying the odor, we're carrying the word. When this word gets in you, it's better than any perfume. When the word of God, when the kingdom word gets in you, you go into a place and you start to smell like him, you start to look like him, you start to interact, and then people look and they want to know who you are and where it is you came from. Why is that? Because you're not just carrying a Bible. You are the written word. You are that word. You are what it says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And then the word is God. He became flesh. He lived on the inside of us. This is what the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's on the inside of us to make us to have it so that he is exuding out of us, so that really, truly, we don't have to try to go back. We don't have to try to, as you said, he must decrease. I don't have to try to decrease. I just allow him to increase in me. And as he increases in me, as he increases through me, then what happens is the kingdom of God is seen, is seen. And we start to break through as the apostolic body that we are. It changes our influence. We're influencers. The kingdom of God is an influencer. I know we say that I use this language. I use the different things. I act like the world so that they will accept me. You are not to be accepted by the world. It is not our job to be accepted by the world. It is our job to be salt and light. It is our job to be so light, so much light that we blind them, that they say, ah! You know how those old movies used to be, you know, when the vampire comes in, you know, we're to be this light. They don't want to see it. It's, ah, get out of here. All of this kind of a stuff. This is what it is that we're supposed to be. How much light are you allowing? How much light am I? How much light are we allowing to be? It's not all the words. So many times we want to go out. I'm going to go out and preach, but you ain't got nothing in you to preach. There's nothing in you that's coming out. You know, you're going out and you're talking words. You don't live it. You don't live as a son of God. What you're doing is talking a talk. Don't nobody need to hear that. That is not the culture. That is not the mentality. Anything hard that comes against. Oh, I'm going. Okay, I'm supposed to be reading all these notes that you're supposed to be getting. So I have to get back here because I'm. Oh, my God. I better stop listening to Michael. Ah, I see. Okay. Slow down. I'm slowing down now. Okay. We are to be a mystery and not a mixture in the world.
Ooh-wee.
You need to mute. We need to be a mystery. People look after mysteries. They like mysteries. They want to find out. But here it is, we don't blurt everything out to the world. There's certain things that we do not give them because they're inside things. and we walk in them so that they follow after us and say, what is different about you? What is different about you? And then you're sensitive enough not to give it all at one time. You wait and find out, because you don't give everybody the same thing. Kingdom mentality, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. No longer are we carrying about the past. Whatever it is that happened in your past, no longer carrying about the past. It has become obvious to me that I do not care. I do not carry. I don't care about my past. I don't care about what has happened. I am going to give full attention to where I am and where it is that I'm going. My past is something, the hurts of my past, the pain of my past, oh, they're going to pay. They're going to pay in dollars and they're going to pay in cents. They're going to pay. But this is something that I have been created in order to be able to walk through and walk through in victory. And this is something that was said, here it is in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. I am to, this is the way I interpret it, so that I am able to give full attention to where I am and where I am going. I put all my energy mentally, emotionally, physically, psychologically, and spiritually into where it is that I'm going, where it is that he has for me. I am here in this world to accomplish something. I am not here in this world to continue to eat up my past. All of the things that happened in your past, they did not happen to you. They happened for you. They happened for you to overcome it. If you will change the mentality, I guarantee you, you will change where it is that you are. I have three doctorate degrees in psychology, but one thing I learned to find out how to pass the test. I find out how to do all of those things and then spit out all the rest of it. So I didn't carry the stench of the world psychology into that. This is why it's not Christian psychology. It's not Christian anything. It is biblical principles. It is carrying the biblical principles and realizing that they are more powerful than anything that you're going to come up against. Anything that you come up against, the word of God has the power. It is the power in order to transform. I don't waste my words. Your words are pictures. So why should I waste? Why should I spend all of my words looking at my past? In my practice, I used to do individual therapy, and I only do it on special occasions now. But one of the things of it is that I tell a client, you're going to tell me the story one time, and then I'm not hearing it no more. I will not allow you to keep reprinting that same picture. Everything was created by words in the kingdom. Everything in the world, the creation was made by words. When I speak these words, I see pictures. Every time you speak a picture, every time you speak a word, what is happening in your brain, in your conscious, subconscious, and unconscious mind is these things are being reprinted. Stop talking about the past. The past is that. It's called past for a reason. It is called past for a reason, and you don't need to turn around because you missed it. So I don't waste my words on talking on the pictures of the past. I do not reprint them or repaint them in my mind, in my brain. I do not make new roads in there. I don't complain about them, because what happens is it stops you. It stops you from getting to where it is that you're to go to. Then I paint the picture of the future endeavors, where it is that I'm going. I start to look at it and I start to talk about it and I start to say the things that he has said. I make it the words that he has placed on the inside of me, so that I give full attention to where God is leading me for this kingdom purpose. I do not give the attention to where it is that I have been, where I've been. If it's a positive, being able to use it, yes. Or if it's something to be able to say, but I am disconnected from it. I have no feelings about those things anymore. I focus on the kingdom of God's present and future victories, which is the prize for serving others. I'm here to serve others. My job My desire, my job, my specific job, my mentality is, how can I please God through serving people the way that He wants them served, so that they are elevated and to do, release, to do what it is that they are to do in this earth. It is not to pamper them, to make them feel good in their misery. It is to disrupt the miserable places and to bring them out so that you are fulfilling, so that you're not in this earth doing the same thing over and over, so that when we talk to Him or He talks to us, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do to help those people? How did you release them? How did you do the gifts that I placed on the inside of you? The things that I allowed you to go through, it was so that you could help them. And what did you do? You just stayed around and around and around and around in the circle. That is not good enough. That is not good enough. That is not what I called you forth for. This is my mentality. This needs to be the kingdom of God's people mentality. So I want to be serving you with excellence in the focus that God has given you to look inside of you. That's what the apostolic prophetic is, to be able to break through into those areas that you don't even see, that you can't even see. This is why He says, I will lead and guide you into all truth. The eyes of Him can see on the inside of you to help you to be able to release what's on the inside of you. You may not see it. Oh, I'm not feeling that. Of course you're not feeling. You're too busy feeling what you're feeling. So let's help you unfeel that, and so that you can move into the victory in which it is that He has for you. Let me see. I have 18 minutes and I'll be finished on time. So I'm focusing on taking the territory that you are to take. In Luke 19, 12 and 13, as a servant's son, I use what He has entrusted me with to do the business of taking territory by operating through the kingdom, through the culture of the kingdom of God. He said to occupy, which means to carry on business, which means I will not lose place. I will not lose territory. I will occupy of all kinds of things, not to hide from the world, not to hide from the word of God, not to hide from the things that I am to do, but to trade the failures of the physical world and to the successes of the spiritual world. And I do not mean that anything spiritual that cannot be manifested naturally is not a part of what it is that we're to do in the land. We are to get the ideas. We're to allow our imagination. We're allow our words to be so filled with truth that everything that we speak in the way that we speak, that it manifests, that it changes the lives of those around us. Can I get an amen? Or can I, as Apostle Eddie would say, can I get an amen on that? Thank you. I'm only joking. Okay.
You're muted, Dr. Baker.
Oh. Golly, see, I wanted everybody muted. I just muted myself. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, you can tell I'm technological savvy. Okay. Every person has been equipped to do things in a specific manner. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 12 through 27, and Romans 12 and 5. It lets us know that we're a body, but there's many different parts that do things different ways. God has uniquely designed each and every one of us with a temperament, with a way of doing things. Even people that have the same temperament have a different written code on the inside of them, so that they do things in a different manner, so that we are fit together in the body as we walk in this obedience. This is one of the things that happens with relationship. I'm on the senior council, and there are 11 other people, 11 male people, and they all are very different. Excuse me, Apostle Calvin?
I'm not a male.
Oh, 11 other sons. Is that better? 11 other suns that are in physical bodies different than mine. How's that? That's my baby brother. So it's my baby brother. So he's that. He just loves to do that one to me. At any rate, but each and every one of us represent differently. We do things in a different manner, but God has it so that we are fit together, so that we operate as one. Are you tracking? I am very, very different, not just because I'm in a different a uniform of body, but because of here it is, I am. I do things, I do that, but I fit in with this. Why is that? Because he's creating one body of people that will operate together and will be able to celebrate how each person does whatever it is that they do. So the mentality that you have to have is no competition. I am in competition with no one. And you have to understand this even in your business, because if you don't, your brain is not going to operate properly. Your business, the field that you're in, it may be competitive, but you never have a need to be in competition with anyone. No one has been designed exactly the way that you are to create, to do what it is that you do. There can be 12 minstrels. There can be all kinds of 12 preachers. There can be 12 apostles. There can be all of this. He showed this even in the apostolic that he had left here in the earth. Each and every one of them were different, and they were all effective in their own way. Each one was effective. And that's what it is that we have to do. I'm in competition with no one. So therefore, no one can tell me, oh my gosh, you failed. You should have done it this way. You should have done it that way. No, if I'm following the Spirit of God, then I should have done it this way. If they say you were in disobedience, okay. Now see, that's a different type of a thing. You are able to judge one another in that, but in the how I was created to do things, you need to find out how it is that he created you, and don't change it every other week. This is what he's saying also in Romans 12, 1, not to be conformed with that. The mentality that you have, no competition. If you are being and living the you that he created you to, your field, your business, or your discipline, as I said, of study may have competition, but you do not have any. So stop being that. This way, you'll never be embarrassed. You'll never have to be offended, and you'll never be shamed. Why is that? Because if you make a mistake, who knows but you? Get over yourself. Get over yourself. Stop trying to please anyone other than him. When you have pleased him, even in this move and what it is that we're doing, there's a lot of people that do not agree with it, but it really doesn't matter, because why? 12 people know that this is the direction that God is taking us to go. Are you hearing? So we know that we're moving in that direction. No one was created with the, all of us were created with the uniquely designed code. No one has that code but you. Nobody has that code but you. And that's why when he also says it goes right in line with what it is that he's saying. He's saying when we get with him or whatever it is, he says he'll give us a name, and that name nobody will know but you. That name is one that's you. I believe that it's the code that he has placed on the inside of you, and it will be revealed at that time. Your temperament inborn genetic program was written with your purpose in you. Your unconscious mind releases those things as you go. I know people say there's conscious and unconscious, but conscious and subconscious, but there's also an unconscious mind. And that's the mind that the Spirit of God, he releases things to you. Haven't you ever just been sitting there and all of a sudden he brings something from you? He brings something that you didn't even know was there. That is the unconscious mind. The hippocampus, never mind, I don't have. Nope, don't have time to go there. Okay. All right. I was going to tell you all the technical parts about it, but that's okay. I'll do that another time. Your temperament, inborn genetic program was written with your purpose in you, your unconscious mind to be released at its proper intervals. It's like a time release capsule. When you need it, it's there. There are ideas, there's your imagination. That's where your imagination is from. All of these things will be released at the time that you're able to handle it, that you're able to carry it. There are things on the inside of you. Have the mentality that there's things on the inside of you that were written in your code, your secret code that God has given you, that he has made you, just like he gave you fingerprints, nose prints, ear prints, toe prints that nobody has ever had before. For and never will have. In those things are written. God says, I have written all of these things in your heart. I have written these things in you. I have created you to be. I've created you for this time. I've created you for this purpose. I have created you to be and to walk and to be able to release things that are inside of other people. Your job, my job, is to unlock things in other people, the gifts and all of these things that are in us. It is not for us. It is for other people. It's so that you can be a blessing. This is the reason that it is, so that you can serve the people that you are meant to serve the way that he wants you to serve them. My last point, the last point is this: at these proper intervals, so that you will be able to conquer what is necessary. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that there is no situation. Let me just read this. Yeah, I got time. Okay. Let me go to this, because I think this one is really important that I share it with you this way. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Ah, come on, computer. 10. I wish I had my daughter here. Okay. All right, 13. He says, there is no temptation, that there is no trial, there is no experience, that there is no situation, that there is no enticement, there is nothing that comes in your life that is common to your physical being, okay? That is common to your physical being, to mankind. He says, but God, being faithful, will not allow you to be tempted, will not allow you to have to be hit with something that you cannot handle. It says that you will not have the ability, that you will not have the code, that you will not have the answer already in you for you to be able to get through it. See, what's in your subconscious, your unconscious, are things that are there that he has planned for you to be able to get through everything that you might encounter. My very last thing is, you have already been equipped by the virtue of the kingdom empowerment of your God-controlled mind. That's why it says you must have the mind of the king. You must have the mind of Messiah. He is the king. If you have the king's mind, then you have the king's heart. And if you have the king's heart, then the king's heart is to be is that servant heart, is to realize that the earth is his and everything and everybody in this earth belongs to him, and that they all have value. They all have value, and that you have been assigned to do a certain job. And when you do that certain job, when you have that mentality, then you will never, ever want somebody else's job. The mind of Christ, which is his kingly mind, to be able to accomplish what it is that you have been here to accomplish.